Friends, yes, this passage from Jeremiah, right in the middle, in the midst of the rigors of Lent, comes this message actually of hope. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Listen for the word of God. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So that was a tough one for me this past week, and I've been adrift in my sermon preparation. Choosing, reading, writing, editing, right up to the moments that we're in right now. It's always a number of reasons for my lack of focus on any one specific chore, but I really do blame myself this week and not anyone or anything else. I looked at the lectionary passage for this morning, the fifth Sunday in Lent. I immediately identified with this familiar passage in Jeremiah and made it my focus. And almost immediately after that, a little voice in my said, okay, in my head said, okay, but no theology, no history, no scriptural exegesis, just heart. Just know the Lord this week and share it on Sunday. I understood that voice. Pretty immediate. That's what the verse says will happen in those days. A new covenant written on our hearts with no need to teach because we will all know. I understood. I understand. But as I tried to follow this voice in my head, I found myself pretty lost. And I got a little upset, I must admit, noting that I do seek the Lord and seek to know the Lord and then to share that knowledge every week that I preach, and not just in my sermon. I read and I study a scripture passage. I explore its original historical context and at least one of its implications for our lives today. I often glimpse of the reality we call God through these remembered or newfound knowledge. And then I share it with you or with anyone else who would listen. But again, that little voice, no theology, no history, no scriptural exegesis, just know the Lord and share it. So I've tried this week, and it was more difficult than you might think. I was wrestling with that little voice in my head on Tuesday afternoon after I had selected the passage and thought just that little bit about it on my way home from the office. It was just before rush hour proper over on I-71, and while the traffic is much heavier coming north, it still builds up pretty heavy heading into the city, especially with the construction in the junction further up. So as I'm driving, relishing the time I have in my car to consider my new charge from the Spirit, I saw a couple standing beside their car on the right shoulder just before the Watterson exit there on 71. I had plenty of time to pull behind them, so I did. They'd run out of gas, and they called one of their parents, as it turns out. But it was going to be a while, because the parent wasn't off work yet, and they were downtown. So I offered to take them to the next exit, so that they could get some gas, and to bring them back. But they said they were fine and didn't want to do that. They would just wait. I tried to convince them, but I knew there were probably many reasons they didn't want to take me up on that offer. Most likely they didn't have any money, they weren't feeling comfortable with me, hence the call to a parent. So I got back into my car and tapped the horn as I passed them. Now, as it happens, my home's not too far off the next exit on 71 there, Zorn Avenue. So as I drove that 2 miles or so, 2.5 miles, I made up my mind to go right to my house, get a gas can, go fill it up, and take it back to them. I did that, and I headed back to where they were. I saw them as I came past the Watterson North on 71. They were back in their car. It took me a little while to get back to them. As you know, you've got to go all the way up to the Gene Schneider in order to turn around and head back south. Well, they were still there. It's early rush hour traffic. I stopped behind them again. I got out. I showed them the gas can, and I asked if I could pour this into their tank. The young man got out of the passenger seat. The young woman was driving. He did that himself. There were lots of thank yous and no problems, and they slipped out in the traffic, followed by me, parting at the Zorn exit as they continued downtown to wherever they were heading. And I only had a short drive to my house at that point, and I could not focus anymore on the little voice that was trying to guide my sermon preparation this week. Just know the Lord and share it. I was almost home now, and I had lost 45 minutes at least, probably closer to an hour, helping that couple. So pulling into my drive, I began my automatic transition of pastor to you to father husband for them. So knowing the Lord and sharing it was just going to have to wait a little longer. I thought maybe sometime later that night. Well, that night, one of our oldest, Sam's friends, was spending the night. His mother was out of state on business. He needed to get to school the next morning, so it was just easier to come have dinner with us, spend the night, and go with Katie and the kids the next morning to school. We had dinner as well. The next morning, I was making pancakes and bacon. I asked Sam by actually texting him up in his room. I asked him if his friend Dylan wanted lunch too. I didn't know if he usually packed his lunch, or I always put together something for the guys, so I asked. Sure, Sam texted back. Well, that messed up the timing a little bit. 4 lunches instead of 3 added to the already increased time of having to cook more bacon and more pancakes. But no big deal. The day lay ahead. I was going to get back to figuring out how to share the Lord with you without theological or historical or scriptural help later that morning. So the boys ate, including Gabe, which is rare. Still, no girls. I'm working on Annie, and I'll get her at some point. The lunches were scooped up, and everybody was in the car with Katie and off to school by 7:05. So I straightened up the house a little bit and left to come over here about an hour later, arriving at the office Wednesday morning, 8:30. I'd had my first moment since yesterday's couple needing gas incident to wonder again about my sermon task, and I was just about as clueless how I was going to share what I was supposed to be sharing with you when I walked in to our family life center and realized again those thoughts were going to have to wait. Kathy, our secretary, is not in the office. Marie comes in the afternoons on Wednesday. So I had to go to the office and check voicemails and emails on Kathy's phone and her computer. It was about 8:35 as I sat down at her desk, and I realized that Kathy was scheduled to have surgery at 8:30. So I should slow down a bit, I thought, and be prayer with and for her. So I did, sitting in her chair in her office. I prayed. I was prayer for a moment or two. Still, more time lost on knowing the Lord, but it seemed important, prayer. The morning was filled with mostly administrative duties, my own emails, phone calls, preparations for the confirmation class that Jenna and I lead on Wednesday nights through Palm Sunday for some Holy Week recordings that Matt and I are trying to do for the website this year for a chapel service with the kids in the CBC. Oh, and Ed Stats popped in on Wednesday morning. Talked about our Sunday school class and the challenges that it's presenting all of us, as well as some other contemporary challenges in our lives of faith, from archaeological discoveries that challenge traditional assumptions of biblical history to alternative interpretations of scripture or church doctrine that challenge our theology and our understanding of the church. We talked a bit about who and how God still is in the midst of it all. I knew it was going to be a busy morning, but through everything, the voice kept hammering away in my head. Get on it. Know the Lord. Share it. When was I going to be able to do that? I had lunch that day, Wednesday, with a former colleague who had left the parish ministry for a while and had just returned. She and I spoke of our roles as pastors and priests. That time, as I mentioned, we spent with a confirmation class. That class includes my daughter, Annie, this year. I've been thoroughly enjoying my rides home with her on Wednesday night, asking her what she thought of the class and what she heard, what she was learning. I wasn't going to use that time with her to wonder by myself alone what Jeremiah was trying to tell me about God and God's love written on my heart. I wanted to be present with my daughter. I still had days in the week left, I suppose, before Sunday morning. Well, as it turned out, Thursday through Saturday were also full of other things to do rather than just knowing the Lord so that I may share it with you. Sam got his restricted driver's license on Thursday afternoon. More prayers. Annie left for a trip to Atlanta with her school class on Friday, and with spring springing, Gabe wanted to throw the baseball around on Saturday, even with the basketball tournament going on. I spoke with Angela Lassane both Friday and Saturday about possibilities and times to celebrate her mother Margie's life and to witness to her new life. There simply wasn't any time all this week to just know the Lord so that I could share it with you this morning. I mean, between helping stranded motorists, feeding growing children, praying for dear co-workers, talking about Christianity and the Christian life with parishioners, supporting former colleagues and minister endeavors, being present with a class of confirmands to share the wisdom of Christian centuries that I have gathered, being present with my family and planning a memorial service, how in the world am I supposed to have time to know the Lord and share God with anyone? The days are surely coming, we're told. That's comforting. I wish you better luck this week. Maybe between all of the tasks and the appointments you have, you can find more time to serve and to help, to talk about and to talk with one another about real life and the things that matter most, sharing and helping, listening and feeding and loving one another. The future announces itself in each and every act of love. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when we won't have to use theology or history or scriptural exegesis, because we will know the Lord. Maybe you'll do better than me in finding those moments in your life this week where your heart speaks louder than your head, where you live and love God more fully. I'll keep trying to know the Lord with all my heart. Amen.